If you or anyone you know could be in danger of harming themselves, please dial 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline. Thank you. Hello, friends, and welcome to the Lathan Minnick Show. I am your host, Lathan M.S. Minnick. Thank you so much for joining me on this, the inaugural episode of my new podcast. This is episode 1, titled Porn and Suicide. These are two topics I am terrified to talk about, which to me means it's something I need to talk about, both for my sake as well as anyone else out there who can benefit from this discussion. Before I get started, I'd like to give out my contact info. The YouTube channel is youtube.com/@LathanMinnick. Social media channels, X, formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, @LathanMinnick, facebook.com/LathanMinnick. I have a TikTok. I haven't touched it in forever, so don't look for me there. And then my Gmail address is LathanMinnick@gmail.com. So as I was saying, this is my new podcast. I had another one previously, the Larth Media podcast, that can still be found on my Larth Media YouTube channel, youtube.com/@LarthMedia, L-A-R-T-H Media. Starting that podcast was a big challenge to overcome for me, not just putting myself out there, but also talking about a sensitive topic for me, which is mental illness. Ultimately, for whatever reason, I just didn't stick with it, so I've decided to launch a new show with just my name, and my name is Lathan Minnick. I want to be comfortable with celebrating my name and not, you know, like a company name or a media name like Larth Media. That was then. This is now. Anyway, I'm totally stalling here. Let's get to the topics at hand. So porn and suicide. I'm just going to say that casually, like porn and suicide, you know, whatever. I was debating which one I wanted to talk about first. I think I'll start with porn. That seems like the least scary of the two to talk about, and I probably have more to say about it. And even as I just said that, like that's the least scary one to talk about, I get a twinge of anxiety thinking about talking about it. But of course, when you talk about suicide, that's a much bigger problem if someone actually goes ahead and does that to themselves. But we're not there yet. Let's just start off with segment number 1, porn. I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm doing this. Okay, you're doing this, Lathan. Okay. Excuse me. I'm not here to condemn porn. I'm certainly not here to defend it. I just want to tell my story of how I got into it and the impact it has had on my life. I was exposed to pornography at a very young age. When I say exposed, I don't mean like someone showed it to me or anything like that. I mean, I was just looking around where I wasn't supposed to, and I found someone's stash. I don't think I was any older than like 10 or so. So I was really young. I don't remember anything about the experience of watching it other than the title of the quote unquote movie and the theme song, which makes me chuckle, but I'm not going to repeat it here. And that was just like, you know, that happened, you know, that was like a more or less one-time thing. You know, I was a kid. I think I barely understood what I was looking at. It wasn't until like my mid-teens that like porn consumption had become like a regular thing. You know, I was horny and curious, as most young men are. I used to order adult movie catalogs under fake names back then. The funniest thing about that is, like, I mean, my name is Lathan Minnick, and some of the fake names I gave was like Layton Minlot, or I would just change like one letter or two letters. Like I'm actually fooling somebody, but it's not like they even asked for like any kind of identification. It was all through the mail, so I mean that's how I got basically just catalogs, not even movies, just catalogs of movies that one could order, which of course had, adult images on them. Once I was 18, though, that was it. I was legal. I used to pedal my bike up the hill 5 miles, go to the video store to rent some movies. Back when there was video stores, it's not really a thing anymore. Definitely not rental stores. But once the internet happened, arrived, I mean, that changed everything, right? In a lot of ways. The anonymity of being able to download porn online took away all the shame and awkwardness associated with having to physically go to a place, to buy or rent it. Of course, in the early days of the internet, early days of the internet, we didn't have the kind of data speeds that people take for granted today. So it's like, depending on what kind of connection you got, it might take you a little while to download like a big movie nowadays. Back then, it took a long time to download a picture. A sexually graphic picture. Yeah, I said it. And yeah, again, I'm so like I got this resistance in my chest. Like, are you really saying this? Are you really doing this? I'm doing it. We'll see if I actually put it out. I'm gonna put it out. Let's soldier forward. Like, then come on, you can do this. So yeah, I mean, porn has been in my life ever since. It has dominated so much of my resources. Mostly my time and my money. That is not even counting the what psychological effects that it probably has had on me over the years and until this day, decades later. Like I said, I'm not here to condemn or to condone, just to tell my story and, how I feel it has affected me. I don't know if anyone's familiar with Dr. Huberman. I think it's Huberman Lab Podcasts. I usually see him on YouTube. He seems to have a lot of I will just say negative things to say about porn and porn consumption and what it does to men. So he would say it's unhealthy. I try to avoid that massive generalization of porn being porn because it's just such a blanket term, You could have a video of two people lovingly engaged in a sexual act, but if it shows everything, insertion and all, then it's porn. So yeah, that I mean that's a huge generalization, but I mean, as far as what most porn is, I feel it's had a pretty unhealthy effect on my life. I mean, it's definitely affected my past relationships, how I view sex and intimacy. It's definitely no substitute for a deep loving connection with someone special and raising a family, which are still things that I want to do. I'm about to be 46, so I don't think it's quite over for me yet. But of course, I've been engaging in that act for so long that I've been, I haven't had a lot of healthy, intimate relationships. I'm starting to feel real effing awkward, but that's okay. That's what I'm here to do. This is my plan. This is my job. This is my goal, is to talk about this. As we all know, porn and really just a lot of content in our society, Hollywood objectifies women. A lot of porn that I've seen, I don't want to speak for all porn, but it just seems a huge theme about it is female subjugation, male domination, female subjugation. There's a lot of content that, see, again, I don't want to do this mass generalization. But yeah, it's a lot of it is subjugation, especially of women, but not only of women, of men too. There's often like this, I know it seems like a power struggle, like someone always has to be the dom or the sub, dominant or submissive for those who may not know. I'm guessing there's content out there that's focused on loving, intimate sexual relations, but I'm also guessing that it doesn't sell as well because people want that kink, I guess. Okay, moving on. Come on, you got this, Lathan. So am I a porn addict? I haven't gone like too much into detail about how much I consume. I've talked about how long it's been part of my life. But I mean, for most people, if they knew how much I've consumed in the past and am consuming currently less, a lot less recently, as I'm focused on other things. But anyway, I think most would say so. They would call me an addict. I'm inclined to agree. That's something I kind of accepted like years ago. I have a therapist, my psychiatric nurse practitioner, Wailua Brandman. He's never used that word before. He's never used that term, addict, for anything. Porn addict. Well, I used to be a weed addict. I guess I'm a recovering weed addict, but I haven't smoked in over 2 years. But what I've learned working with him is that it's usually not about whatever substance or activity that one is addicted to. It's about the pain or trauma that the addict is suffering that is driving them to the addicted behavior. So, for myself, but not without going too much into my personal business, especially my family, but my dad, I have no problems talking about him because I don't know where the F he is. And he took off at a very young age for me. So that's just an example of some kind of trauma or vacancy in my life that I'm trying to fill with, porn or whatever it was. It used to be, sugar, junk food. Gotten way away from that. But the point was, that the addiction is usually not about the addiction itself. It's about whatever is driving you to that addiction. Anyway, how long have we been going? Well, I think that's most of the... Yeah. So I think that's more than enough on porn. My last thought is to add that if you feel that you have a problem with porn or any activity, substance abuse, mental health, please seek professional help. Talk to your doctor, who can hopefully refer you to a psychiatrist or psychologist. Seek out a support group. I did a quick Google search, and I put porn addict, and then the first frequently searched term that popped up was recovery. So I clicked on porn addict recovery, and this phone number came up. It's 1-800-662-4357. 1-800-662-HELP. That is the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration hotline. So if you need someone to talk to, I mean, start there, you know. You never know where it could go from there. I feel like this is going to be a short one. Now, I mean, not short, short, but like, I wrote down a bunch of stuff and I'm through all of it. And that was just about the porn. I don't know. Maybe when I did the podcast before, see, I'm going to start babbling now. Oh, I just hit my mic, boom arm. Don't do that. When I did the podcast before, I would have like little talking points and I would just ramp off of those. But based on the subject material that I'm recording right now, I had to write it out and kind of think it through, and I'm still I'm going to avoid swearing. I'm still effing terrified of putting this out, but I'm going to put it out. Anyway, the point of all that was that, yeah, I don't know how long this episode is going to be. Maybe when I get done with the porn and the suicide, I'll vamp a little bit more about podcasts, present and past. So anyway, segment number two, suicide. Once again, if you or anyone you know could be in danger of harming themselves, please dial 988 for the Suicide and Crisis Hotline. That is not a joke. That is serious business. I've never known anyone personally who ended their life. When I used to work security, like one of the supervisors, I mean, he was my supervisor, but I didn't know him that well. I learned like after the fact that he hanged himself on Christmas Day, which is Jesus. Anyway, I mean, it's like depressing to talk about, but that's why I'm here. This is the topic that I've chosen for my new podcast. Again, because I'm so afraid to talk about it, which tells me that it's something I need to talk about. I'm chasing that fear. Okay, as I said, segment number two, suicide. He says so casually. We're talking about porn earlier and just in general. I even talked to my therapist about it. And my therapist often has students that he's training. So not only do I have my therapist who I'm talking to, who I've seen Wailua for like 5 years now. So, you know, the comfort level is there. But then you have someone new coming in who's usually only there for a few months at most. And I'm talking about this stuff in front of that person too. So when I talk about this stuff, specifically porn, I feel a lot of shame and anxiety about who might hear this. People I know, people I don't know, people I work with, people I work for, you know, But you know, it is what it is. As like I said, as much as this is scaring me right now, this is telling me that this is a hurdle that I need to overcome. The treasure is in the cave behind the scary dragon or something. I read a saying somewhere. But anyway, yeah, I feel a lot of shame and anxiety talking about this stuff. When it comes to talking about suicide, and I don't even know if this makes sense, but the feeling is guilt. I feel guilty. I feel guilty that I'm going to freak out or scare someone that knows me, hearing me talk about this, thinking like, oh, Lathan's thinking about hurting himself. And if they feel that way, that means they care about me. So why should I feel guilty about that? But again, that's my, for lack of a better term, natural reaction to this kind of content, this kind of subject matter, if you will. So to preface, I'm not planning on hurting myself. If I was, I wouldn't be talking about it. I certainly wouldn't be producing a podcast episode about it. Having said that, I do have suicidal thoughts. I have them quite regularly, actually. This used to bother me a lot more than it does now. Every week when I meet with my therapist, the previously mentioned Wailoa Brandman, one of the routine questions he asks me is about suicidal thoughts. And it's usually on a scale of 1 to 10. And nearly every week is, yes, I've had thoughts. So that means every week I've had suicidal thoughts. And it, see, again, I'm getting that feeling like someone's going to hear this and they're going to freak out and they're going to be scared. Like I would have been scared a few years ago when I heard someone talk about this. But I've come to, accept that these are just thoughts. There's no plan. There's no intention. It's just thoughts. And I'll get into what or where the thoughts come from in a little bit here. So he asked me about my suicidal thoughts. Jeez, how many times can I put that word in the podcast? That's got to trigger some kind of red flag or something for some algorithm. So when we rate my suicidal thoughts, we rate them from 1 to 10. I'm usually in the 2 to 4 range, depending how I'm feeling that week. If it gets to be 5 and above, which I'm pretty sure has only happened like maybe once or twice, then Wailoa gets concerned. But by and large, he doesn't seem concerned by it. And that kind of frees me up to believe that, okay, these are just thoughts. Because if he's not worried about it, then I feel more confident in not being worried about it. It's a concern. It is definitely something there that's whatever, some kind of malcontent that is feeding into this thoughts of self-harm. But it's not a crisis situation. It's not something that I'm planning on acting on. I mean, they're just thoughts, you know, they're quite fleeting. They just come and go. They enter my brain, then they leave. So what usually triggers these thoughts are frustration with my life and where I am in life. You know, I'm asking myself, I'm middle-aged. What am I doing with my life? Is all that I am now, is this all I'll ever be? The more I open myself up to the possibility that I can have and do more with this life, that's all the more frustrated I get when it doesn't seem to be happening or things aren't working out. This podcast and all the other attempts at creating content or doing something for myself, these are examples of me believing I can do something different in this life. I went to a screenwriting class at UH last summer. That was another example I think I want to be a filmmaker. I talked about that on the previous podcast, on the Larth Media podcast, that I wanted to be a filmmaker. I'm still not sure where I am with that. But I had a very difficult time with that class. And it wasn't the screenwriting class itself. It wasn't the writing. It wasn't that the class was technically hard. It was just my overwhelming feeling of anxiety and just... I'm just gonna say, it's like whenever I sit down to do something, to try something, to do something different, I'm overwhelmed with anxiety. I was researching podcast hosts earlier today, and then I just get so overwhelmed with choice and this has this feature or this has this that I want. And again, I just get effing anxious. To get back to the screenwriting class, I got an A in that class, which is great. There were times where I didn't think, not that I didn't think I was going to pass. I was honestly thinking about dropping the class and even dropping it after, because you got your deadlines. You can drop it at a certain date and get all your money back, and drop it the next date and get half of your money back. And then there's a deadline where if you drop it beyond that date, it's basically just a fail. And I think the first two, there's no record that you took it, or no record that you failed, something like that. And on the very last day of the final of the screenwriting class, when I got all my two scripts together and then my computer wasn't working or Lau Lima wasn't working, and I pushed it to I was uploading my final project at 10 minutes before the deadline, to where the professor was calling me. And if I had not made that deadline, or if I had failed, then yeah, I foresee some serious anxiety, suicidal thoughts. It's just that feeling of failure, of me telling myself I'm a failure. And whenever something like that happens, it's like a reminder, oh yeah, remember that you're a failure. And that's what I, clearly there's something in here that keeps telling me that. And I've gotten better at identifying and hopefully compartmentalizing and just leaving it in its place and not letting it affect me. And to add on top of that, as far as me trying to do anything with my life and me believing that I can do something different with my life, I've had these health issues that I've been dealing with for a long time. I have sleep apnea, which is relatively new as far as the diagnosis, But I mean, I've had sleep issues for years, decades, where I've always felt tired. I've felt like I not get enough sleep, or I've had insomnia where I can't fall asleep. Or what's more common lately is that I wake up early and I can't go back to sleep. I have post-COVID, apparently. I had COVID like late 2022, and like here more than a year later, it's gotten a lot better, but like 3, 6 months ago, I was feeling really crappy. So, I mean, you combine that with me telling myself, oh, I'm gonna start a new podcast. I'm gonna start the YouTube channel. I'm gonna go to film school. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. Do all these things I actually want to do with my life versus nothing against anyone who works a job just because it's a job and it pays their bills and takes care of them and their family. Nothing wrong with that. That's more or less what I'm doing now as far as my actual occupation. But I just foresee like me doing something that I want to do as a living, as opposed to doing like, oh, I could do that and that's good enough. But I want to do something that's uniquely me. Anyway, I'm babbling about that. The point is, there's all that frustration, all this whatever, existential dread about being middle-aged and what am I going to do with my life? And then I have these glimpses of like, oh, I started a podcast. Oh, but it didn't work out. Ooh, I went to screenwriting class, but oh, it was so hard. And then I think about, that's what I think about when like I can't sleep well, or I'm not feeling, I'm sick again, or I'm tired. I don't have the energy to be functional, let alone, I barely have enough energy to survive, let alone thrive. And those are the times, those are the moments when I have those thoughts of self-harm. I'm gonna try to avoid using the S word because I've said it enough during this episode. But when I have those thoughts and I'm feeling hopeless, I have to remind myself that I'm still here. I still have hope. The life that I want and deserve is still on the horizon for me. I remind myself how far I've come with my mental health work. All the weight I've lost recently, I've lost over 70 pounds over the past year or so. I was down 82 pounds at one point. If you check my YouTube link, anyway. Do that later. It's up on my YouTube and on my social media, on my Facebook and my Instagram about all the weight that I lost. And I think about how much I've grown in these past few years. I had a very difficult 2018, well, second half of 2018 and 2019. And maybe I'll get into that a little bit on a future episode. But it was a huge turning point for me, and I have to remind myself how much I've changed and grown since then. And I think that's a big one for a lot of people is that, you know, whenever you're feeling down or hopeless, just try thinking about the positive things in life. It's so easy to focus on the negative. I think that's just our nature as human beings. You know, every day is a new day. Every moment is a new moment. We are all just a dis one small decision away from making drastic changes in our lives. Yeah, sorry, kind of went on a little rant there. But the point is that it's not over till it's over. And I mean, if you take that final step and you commit S. Suicide. If you take that step, then it's over. There is no coming back from that. And that is no joke. And I'll say the S word one last time. If you or anyone you know could be in danger of harming themselves again for the third time, please dial 988 for the suicide and crisis hotline. Okay, there, I did it. Yay. Well, I recorded it. I got to upload it. So that was it. That was the inaugural episode of the Lathan Minnick Show. I didn't mention this yet, but it is my 46th birthday tomorrow. Actually, in 15 minutes, because as I'm recording this, it's 11:45 p.m. on February 22nd. I was going to record this on the day. It's kind of like a, birthday thing. But I still like it, like starting the podcast on or near my birthday. But I'm glad I didn't, because this took way much. That's proper English. Way much longer than I expected. Which kind of shouldn't be a surprise at this point, because every time I do something like this, it takes longer than expected. Anyway, what a great way to start my 47th year by launching my new show. I hope you enjoyed it. If you made it this far, thanks for sticking in there. And I appreciate you very much. Once again, I can be reached at the YouTube channel is youtube.com/@LarthMedia. No, it's not. Oh, my God. That was a faux pas. I can kind of be reached at youtube.com/@LarthMedia, but that's not the channel anymore. The new channel, the current channel is youtube.com/@LathanMinnick. LathanMinnick. All the social media outlets, Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter. That's still freaking weird. @LathanMinnick. And my Gmail address is LathanMinnick@gmail.com. Thank you so much for sticking in. If you made it this far, if you need help, ask for help, please. And that's it for me. Mahalo.